But we'll continue with that chazora. We're trying to figure out the nafkamina between the two ways of interpreting velo siya le'isha, which is a machlokes tanoim recorded in the Braisa. And there's Shimon HaTimni and there's Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. According to Shimon HaTimni, velo siya le'isha means isha sheyesh ba'avaya. It all depends on tfisas kiddushin. So for example, clearly in the case of Baal Achoso or other cases of Chayvi Krisis that are listed in the Mishnah, according to Shimon HaTimni, they would not be subject to Knas because there's no velo siya le'isha, isha sheyesh ba'avaya. On the other hand, if it was, let's say, Chayve Lavim, for example, Mamzeres, then according to Shimon HaTimni, presumably there would be Knas, because Yesh Tfisas Kedushin B'Chayve Lavim. And that's where the Gemara is going to introduce Rabbi Akiva, if you remember that was the last thing we discussed yesterday.
Right.
Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, on the other hand, hold Isha Ruhi L'Kaima, that any woman that is prohibited on, based on even a Lav, that would be enough to knock out the Knas.
Even if you would have to give her a get.
Well, in any case of an Isha Shena Rui L'Kaima, you would have to give her a get.
Yeah.
And there's no Knas in that case. So, Chayvei Lavim, according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, would be excluded from Knas. Mamzeres would be excluded from Knas because it's Eina Rui L'Kaima. But now the Gemara introduces Rabbi Akiva. And according to Rabbi Akiva, even in the case of Chayvei Lavim, like Mamzeres, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. So we have to find, this is our goal, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have to find a case where there is Tfisas Kedushin, even though it's Einu Ruhi L'Kaima. And that would have to be something perhaps lower on the totem pole than Chayvei Lavim. So the Gemara thinks that the case which is a little bit lower on the totem pole than classic Chayvei Lavim is Almona L'Kohen Gadol, even though that's a Chayvei Lavim too. But we have a drasha from the pasuk that says Lo Yechalel. So we'll get to that in just a minute. So let's pick it up from Ika Beinayu, Bialmana Lekoin Gadol.
I'm there.
Okay then. So the Gemara says the following: Kirabi Simai, Desanya Rabbi Simai Omer Menakol Oser Rabbi Kiv Mamzerim Chutz Mialmana Lekoin Gadol. There's a separate drasha that takes Almana L'Kohen Gadol, even though it's a lav, out of the parasha of Mamzeres. Now the Gemara assumes here an equation between Mamzeres and E Tfisas Kedushin. There's no Tfisas Kedushin if there's Mamzeres. So the barometer for determining whether there'll be Tfisas Kedushin is whether or not there's Mamzeres. And in the case of Almona L'Kohen Gadol, there's no Mamzeres, based on this drasha. If there's no Mamzeres, it means there is Tfisas Kedushin, which means that according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, she would be excluded from Knas because of Einu Ruhi L'Kaima, but according to Shimon HaTimni, she would be included in Knas because Yesh Ba Havaya. What is this drasha? The Pasuk says, Lo Yikach V'lo Yechalel. There are two psukim that are contiguous in Vayikra Chaf Aleph. In the first pasuk, it says Lo Yikach. It says that he should not marry an almana. In the second pasuk, it says that why shouldn't he marry an almana? Because if the Kohen Gadol marries an almana, then the child of that marriage will be a chol. Chol means any violation of Isuri Kahuna. The child of such a marriage is no longer a Kohen. He's completely excluded from Kedushas Kahuna. But the Torah went out of its way to tell us that the Psul here is only Psul Kahuna. That's called Chilulim Oseh V'Eino Oseh Mamzerim. And it doesn't create Mamzeres. So it comes out the following. And I'll take a break in just a minute to tell you where we're off to. Just give me 1 minute to finish my sentence here. So then we'll all be on the same page. What we're saying is that even though Rabbi Akiva in all Chayvei Lavim assumes that the child from such a marriage is a Mamzeres or a Mamzer, and therefore there's no Tfisas Kedushin, the exception to that rule, based on a unique drasha is going to be almona l'kohen gadol. Here's the case where even though there's a violation of the law, the child is not a mamzer, there's tfisas kedushin, which means that according to Shimon HaTimni, there would be knas in this case, because Shimon HaTimni says that we only exclude knas in a case of lesbei havaya, but here in the case of almona l'kohen gadol, isbei havaya, there is tfisas kedushin, there's no mamzerus, even according to Rabbi Akiva. However, if we go with Rav Shimon ben Menasya, who says that lo si elisha means that we exclude knas in any case that there's an isur, which means any case that will force a get between the ma'anes and the anusa, she doesn't get knas because it's ein ruy l'kaima. And certainly almona l'kohen gadol would fit that bill of ein ruy l'kaima. So Rabbo said, let's just see where we can start today. I was just reviewing what we did yesterday. So we're now on the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. Yesterday we began our Chazara. And we're up to the line that's four lines up from the bottom, which starts with Chilulim, but it ends with the word Ula Rebbe. Ula Rabbi Yeshevev. Rabbi Yeshevev is the one who argues with Rav Simai. In other words, he doesn't accept this drasha of chilulim hu osa v'yena osa mamzerim, but rather in the case of almona l'kohen gadol, the child will be a mamzer, and the reason for that is because almona l'kohen gadol is a lav in the Torah, and whenever the Torah generates a lav, it means that the child that's born to that chayvei lavim situation is a mamzer, and there's no tefisas kedushin. And now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yeshevev. Rabbi Yeshevev says, "The Omar bo v'netzavach al Akiva ben Yosef." We and netzavach means we scream out of opposition. You know, we're very upset with Rabbi Akiva's position. Shahoyer Omer, because Rabbi Akiva used to say, "Kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael." If there's no heter bia, meaning if she's asura lo, and he goes and he has this relationship. This includes even the case of almona l'kohen gadol. Have Vlad mamzer, and there's no tefisas kedushin. So then we're back again to the scoreboard here. Mayim beinayim. What's the difference between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Asi? Because even in the case of almona l'kohen gadol, in the light of Rabbi Yeshevev's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, there's no tefisas kedushin, and the child is a mamzer, which means that even according to Shimon HaTimni, who understands that velosi elisha means isha sheyesh b'havaya, there will be no knas. So I don't have to introduce Rav Shimon ben Menasya to exclude her from knas. Why? Because in the case of almona l'kohen gadol, the vlad is a mamzer, and there's no tefisas kedushin, les b'havaya. So what the Gemara is up to right now in the Ika Beinayu, and we're about now to turn to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, is we're looking for the following profile. We're looking for a case which is lower than Chayvei Lavim, such that even according to Rabbi Akiva, the child from such an illegitimate marriage would be kosher, would not be a mamzer, and there would be tefisas kedushin because there's no lav at all. Now, how can we find a case where there's some sort of isur, but yet it's on a lower level than Chayvei Lavim? That's what Gemara is looking for. And that's going to be the cases of Mitzri Va'adomi. So we'll just read quickly through the Psukim. These are called Chayvei Esei, where the Torah tells you, not that you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri, or you're not allowed to marry a Domi, but rather you have to wait a few generations until such time that you're allowed to marry the genealogical descendant of a Mitzri over an Adomi. The Pasuk says, this is in Parashas Ki Tetzi, it says, Dar Shlishi Yavo Lahem Bekal Hashem. With regard to the Mitzri and Adomi, it says we have to wait for the third generation. And the third generation is allowed to enter into Kal Yisrael and you can marry them. The implication is that you're not allowed to marry them before they get to the Dar Shlishi. And that's called a Lav Haba Michal Esei. It's a prohibition that's not explicit in the Torah as a lav. The Torah doesn't formulate it as a lotaseh, but rather as an essay. You may recall that we gave the paradigmic example of what's called a lav habamachal essay is inui on Yom Kippurim, because the Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to eat or drink on Yom Kippurim. No, nowhere in the Torah does it say so. It just says v'inisev es nafshel seichem, that you have to achieve a state of inui. That's called a lav habomachal essay. Here too, the Torah says that only dar shlishi yavo lehem mekal Hashem in the cases of mitzvah v'adomi. So it comes out now that there will be tfisas kiddushin if a man marries a mitzvah rishon or a mitzvah sheni, mitzvah shishniya. So in the case of ma'anes, if we go with the shita of Shimon Atimni, there will be a knas. Whereas if we go with Rav Shimon Menasya, there will be no knas because it's eino ru'uya l'kaima. And the Gemara is assuming right now that Rabbi Akiva would agree that there would be tfisas kiddushin, and there's no mamzerus in the cases of mitzvah v'adomi, because these are not even chayvei lavin. It's one madrega lower than chayvei lavin. It's called chayvei essay. It's a lava b'machal essay. So the Gemara says that depends upon how we understand the statement of Rabbi Yeshevev. You remember that Rabbi Yeshevev said that that he was upset in the tzaveach al bless you, Al-Rakiv ben Yosef, Shaya Omer, because Rabbi Akiva's position was Kol She'ein lo Bia b'Yisrael. Now, if we take those words as an, you know, independently, not in a broader context, then what it means is Rabbi Akiva holds his mamzerus in every case of Ein lo Bia b'Yisrael. Now, Ein lo Bia b'Yisrael means that there's a prohibition. It matters not what the nature of the prohibition is, whether it's formulated as a lotas in the Torah, or even if it's formulated as an essay. So how is it possible now that Rabbi Yeshevev would accept that there is some sort of a situation in which Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's no mamzeris despite the fact that ein lo bia b'Yisrael? He says, kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael av lai mamzer. And the answer is going to be, la fuke mi taima de Rav Simoika. See, that we have to take Rabbi Yeshevev's statement in context. He was only making a statement relative to Rav Simoi. Rav Simoi was the one who said that there is one lav in the Torah which Rabbi Akiva would agree does not generate mamzerus. That's the case of lo yikach in almona l'kohen gadol, because the Torah adds v'lo yechalel. And now Rabbi Yeshevev comes to reject that derivation, that yalfus of lo yechalel, that chilul mosav einos mamzerim, and therefore even in the lav of almona l'kohen gadol, like all other lavim, the child is going to be a mamzer. But if that be the case, that Rabbi Yeshevev was only making his comment in the context of Rav Simoi as an argument against Rav Simoi regarding almona l'kohen gadol, he was never committed to the case of chayvei essay, that it could be in chayvei essay. Rabbi Yeshevev would agree that there is no mamzerus. So that's good. If the statement of Rabbi Yeshevev is only relative to Rav Simoi, then everything fits in well, and we have this answer called Mitzvah Adomi, and that's going to be the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. But if, on the other hand, Taimei Denafshei Ka'omar, Ela'i Taimei Denafshei Ka'omar, which means that we have to take Rabbi Yeshevev's statement, he wasn't counter-arguing against Rav Simoi, he was making an independent statement. And when we read his statement as an independent statement, kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avlad mamzer, it implies that any time, any case of ein lo bia b'Yisrael, doesn't matter where it is on the totem pole, whether it's chayvei miso, whether it's chayvei krisus, whether it's chayvei lavim, or even if it's low down on the totem pole and it's chayvei yeser. So that would mean that if we take Rav Yeshevev's statement independent, then we don't have enough gemina now between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Menasseh, because there is no tfisas kiddushin. We're looking for a case where there is tfisas kiddushin. There would be knas according to Shimon HaTimni, even though she's an isha sheinu ruli kaima. So we have to now dip down below the level of mitzvah v'adomi, my beinayu ika beinayu ba'ula l'kohen gadol, and this is a case of chayvei essay, but for some reason the Gemara assumes, which the Gemara is about to clarify, that in this case of chayvei essay, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's no mamzerus. Now, what is ba'ul l'kohen gadol? The Torah says in Parshas Emor, v'hu, referring to a kohen gadol, v'hu isha b'psulel yikach, which means he's commanded to marry a basula. And the Torah says, ki im basula me'am of yikach. He's only allowed to marry a besula, so he's not allowed to marry a ba'ula. Now, this is really fascinating because when you think about it, we're talking about a case where Kohen Gadol was ma'anes abasua. Now, how do you view that? You know, at the point to which he was boil, she became a ba'ula. So now, if you ask whether he's allowed to marry her or not, certainly he's not allowed to marry her. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, it's ainu ruui l'kaima. But on the other hand, if you focus exclusively on the moment of be'ila, before the result of the be'ila, then she in fact was ruuya l'kaima, because at that point she was a basula. Now, by definition, if we're talking about knas of onus of mafata, we're talking about a case of a basula. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. So now the Kohen Gadol was ma'ani, so mafata e besua, and was saying that that's called Einu Ru'i L'Kaima. According to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, there's no knas because he can't marry her. Again, even though at the moment of the ones, he could have married her, because at that moment before he was ma'ani, so she was a be'ula. It's almost as if everything happened simultaneously with the be'ila of ones. She became an Einu Ru'i L'Kaima because she's a be'ula. And this raises a whole sugya elsewhere in Shas about Be'ulas Atzmo. What is the status of a Kohen Gadol in terms of his either license or his not license to marry a girl who's not a Be'ula, but why isn't she a Be'ula? Because he himself made her into a Be'ula. And there's one opinion in the Gemara that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry Be'ulas Atzmo. And again, this touches on all sorts of issues which are way beyond the context of our chazara here, because we're trying to race at the speed of light to try to review this parak. But I'll just point out to you that the Gemara here reads a lot smoother if you assume that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Be'ula, even if he was the one who made her into Be'ula, Be'ulas Atzmo. Then it makes sense that this could be a nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni, because according to Shimon HaTimni, Velosi Elisha means what? Yesh Ba'avaya or Les Be'avaya. And in this case, we're going to say that even Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's no Mamzerus and that there is Havaya. But if you go like Rav Shimon Manasseh, Einu Ru'i L'Kaima, he's not allowed to marry her, then since she's a Be'ula, and again, he himself made her into a Be'ula, then he's not allowed to marry her. And therefore, there would be no Knas. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question, Maishna, why is this Isra Aseh different than any other Isra Aseh? We've already established that according to Rabbi Yishevid, Rabbi Akiva holds that Kol She'ein Obil Yisrael Avlad Mams, even in the case of Mitzri and Adomi, where the Torah says you have to marry the Mitzri and Adomi only after Dar Shlishi, that's called a Lava Mamachal Aseh. Here the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. If she's a Be'ula, then by implication, he would violate the Aseh of Isha B'Besula Yikach. Why is that any different than Mitzri Vadomi? And the Gemara answers, Maishna Davile Esei Sheina Shava Bakol. No one's allowed to marry a Mitzri Vadomi until Dar Shlishi. That's called a Lava Bomachal Esei. But anyone's allowed to marry a Be'ula. The only individual on the face of the earth who is enjoined from marrying a Be'ula is the Kohen Gadol. That makes it into a weak Iser. It's an Iser Kal. And Rabbi Akiva would be modded in the case of an Iser Kal, that's Kiddushin Tofsin, and that there's no Mamzerus. And that's going to be the Nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, because according to Shimon HaTimni, since there is Tvisus Kedushin in the case of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, therefore there would be Knas. According to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, since it's Eino Ru'i L'Kaima and he's not allowed to marry her, therefore there's no Knas. Om Rav Chizda HaKol Modim B'Baal HaNida Shemeshalim Knas. Both Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimni would both agree that if a man is ma'anis a nida, he pays knas. Mimonafshach, the Gemara says. Either way, it works out. Lemandi, or if you hold like Shimon HaTimni, yesh ba'havaya. In this case, he can marry her, and the marriage is valid. Ha'nami yesh havaya, because there is tefisus kedushin in a nida. And that's the sugya in Masechet Yevamos. Lemandi, Omar, Re'ui l'kaim, if you go with Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Hanami Ru'ila Kaima. So if a man marries a woman who's in Nida, he doesn't have to divorce her, he just has to wait until she goes to Mikvah and she's Mitair herself from Nida. And now we start the sugya of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. This is a gigantic, gigantic chunk of the third parak of Ksubas. Our Mishnah that says that you're chayv knas even in the case of bala choso and the like, which means chayv krisus, and we don't apply kibble b'deramine, that's against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. The sanya we have a brisa, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona yoses yom kippurim kishabbos l'tashlumin. In other words, not only if he burns down someone's gadish, his haystack on Shabbos, is he potur, because he kibble b'deramine, because he's chayv misa, but even if he burns down someone's gadish on Yom HaKippur, which is not a chiyuv misa, but rather a chiyuv kares, we still apply the principle of kibble b'deramine, he doesn't pay for compensation for the gadish. Ma Shabbos mischayv b'nafsho, potur min atashlumin, af Yom HaKippur mischayv b'nafsho, Upatur min hatashlumin. So therefore, if our Mishnah says you pay knas even in the case of Bala Choso, which is Chayvei Krisus, and you don't apply the principle of Kimle, that's against Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, which is okay. We don't necessarily accept Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. And the reason we don't accept Rav Shimon ben Menasseh might be because Kares is radically different than any other punishment. All other punishments are meted out by Bezdin. Kares is meted out Bidei Shamayim. And we don't know from the parish of Kimle ben Ramine, which we're about to learn, that the Torah applies that principle of Kimle ben Ramine even in the case of an Onesh Bidei Shamayim. It's only limited to a case of Onesh Bidei Adam. And that's against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. My time with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. Now here we're about to learn a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, which I hope we'll cover, you know, in the next 25 minutes that we have, as to what's the source from Nechunya ben Akona, because the sugya after that is going to work very hard. Mein afkamina, what difference it make whether we accept Abaye's source or we accept Rava's source? Omer Abaye, what's the source from Nechunya ben Akona? This is what's called Gzeirah Shavah. In the parsha of Kimle b'deramine, which is in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah uses a word, and that word appears elsewhere in Sefer Bereishis in a different context. And the way it's used in Sefer Bereishis is going to tell me its meaning in Sefer Shmos. In Sefer Shmos, the Torah says that if two men are having a brawl, fighting it out, and one man hits accidentally hits a pregnant woman, and she loses the vlados. And the Torah says, does he have to pay for the Dmei Velados? The Torah says, V'lo yeh ason, meaning that if she survives the blow, she's right now in the hospital, we know she's hovering between life and death. If lo yeh ason, if she survives, then he pays Dmei Velados. If she dies, then paradoxically he is exempt from paying Dmei Velados because of the principle of Kimle b'deramine. So what does the word ason mean? Some sort of tragedy and death. Bidei Adam. So now we're talking about a case where Ason means that Bezdin will not be able to mete out the punishment of death because she survived and there was no Ritzicha, there was no murder on the part of the one who hit her. But yet, when we look at the word Ason, it's not limited to a punishment that's meted out by Bezdin. How do I know this? How does Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona know this? Because v'nemar, because when Yaakov Avinu refuses to send Binyamin down with his brothers, it says that he was worried about the following. V'karohu ason. I'm afraid that on the way down to Mitzrayim, some tragedy will befall him. And that tragedy is bidei shamayim. It means that Yaakov Avinu was worried about the fact that, you know, on his way out there, some animal maybe would attack Binyamin or some other experience bidei shamayim of tragedy. Ma ason ha'omer bidei adam potim tashlumin af ason ha'omer bidei shamayim potim tashlumin. Now that we see that the word ason includes even a heavenly death without Bezdin, so then when we go back to the parasha of Kimle b'deramine, where it says v'lo yason, we assume that there too the word ason will include even a misa bidei shamayim. So therefore kares, which is a form of misa bidei shamayim, later on we're going to distinguish between the two, but right now we're not distinguishing, then there's going to be a principle called Kimle b'deramine. Hence, if a person burns down someone's haystack on Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to pay for that, because that also comes under v'lo yason. Because Hasson, in its broader definition, says Rav Nukunya ben Akona includes even Hasson bidei Shomayim. Maskifle, Rabbi Ado bar Ava mimai. How do you know Abaye to defend Rabbi Nechunya? Dechi komazelu Yaakov lebonei, when Yaakov was warning his sons about taking Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, he was warning them al tzinenu pachin divide shomayim ninu, that he was worried about all sorts of things that could happen that are bidei shomayim. The Gemara is assuming right now, before the Gemara changes its mind, that tzinenu pachin, which means that if a person catches some sort of an illness, and he's got a fever, and he caught a very heavy cold, that it must mean it must be bidei shamayim, as if to say that it's not within human ability to protect yourself against kar v'chom, against the heat and the cold. These are things that all of a sudden there's a wind or a change of weather, a radical change of weather. Right, there are places in the world, and for example, the west of Canada, where the weather could change within minutes by 60 degrees, and that's not bidei adam. You can't really anticipate that. So it's bidei shamayim. So how do we know that Yaakov was warning his sons about some sort of tragedy bidei shamayim? Dilma, perhaps al aryeh v'ganveh de bidei adam ninu, that he was afraid they would expose themselves to danger, they would go the wrong way, and they went to, you know, on a road, on a pathway that is beset by mortars who will attack them, or they went to a derech, they would choose a pathway where there are lions, and that means that they were poshea, that means that they were negligent, they made a bad judgment call, and maybe the word ason here that Yaakov is warning them about is their bad judgment call, which is called bidei adam. And if it's bidei adam, we don't have a right to use the word ason as and interpret it in a broader sense to include even a misa bidei shamayim. So the Gemara says, "Atu Yaakov aha azar aha lo azar." Are you telling me that Yaakov was only concerned with some sort of negligence bidei ado, but he wasn't concerned with an ason bidei shamayim? Meaning, again, an ason bidei shamayim theoretically could happen. Such an occurrence could befall even if Binyamin doesn't leave the confines of the house. But the Gemara is assuming that once you leave the confines of your house, you're exposing yourselves to all sorts of dangers, and HaKadosh Baruch is not going to protect you against those dangers, and in the natural world, you will die. So, Yaakov al kol mini azir.
Good question. The ason, for the gzeirah shava to work, does ason have to refer to, in the case of Yaakov warning his sons, only
exclusively? No. As long as it refers even to ason bidei shamayim, okay.
So
then that's enough.
As long as it refers to both.
Correct.
But if it excludes exclusively to bidei
adam, then we have a problem. Okay. So Abaye is based on this logic that we just presented, that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of all possibilities. Therefore, the word ason includes even bidei shamayim. Now the Gemara goes back to the question of Avada bar Ava, pointing out that there's a strange anomaly here, because Rav Avada bar Yaakov classifies tzidinu pachin as something that's bidei shamayim, as if to say, if you catch a cold, you couldn't have protected yourself against the cold. Frek the Gemara asks, v'tzidinu pachin bidei shamayim ninu v'asanya kol bidei shamayim chutz mitzidinu pachin. The Gemara quotes a brisa, which in turn quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, to prove that you could protect yourself against tzidinu pachin, and if you got sick with a bad cold, it's your fault, it's your pshia, your negligence. Shenemar tzidin pachim biderech ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mihem. And the pasuk is coming to teach us that if a person gets ill because of kar v'chom, because of a heat wave, or because of exposure to cold, it's because he wasn't careful, he wasn't a shomer nafsho. Visu, and I'll ask even on the flip side, you Rav Adbar Ava classify Aryeh Vaganve as bidei adam, as if to say that a person is negligent and he chose the wrong path. He should have called in a surveyor or some sort of expert to decide where to go, and therefore he was attacked by these ganavim or by arayos. V'amar Rav Yosef v'chein tami Rav Chia miyom shechar beis hamikdash af pi shebatlu Sanhedrin arba misos lo batlu. which means that even after the Sanhedrin is no longer in its place, which is called the Lishkas HaGozes, outside the Beis HaMikdash, and they no longer can function as the High Court of Israel, so how could they implement any of the four categories of Mises Bezdin? We need a Bezdin for that. We need a High Court, a Sanhedrin, 23 judges. But no, low button. What does it mean, low button? You don't have a Sanhedrin, it's batel. Ella, what we really mean here is din arba mises lo batel. Meaning, even after the Churban HaMikdash, and even after the Sanhedrin is no longer able to issue a ruling condemning a criminal to death, nevertheless, that criminal will die. How will he die? Because of bidei shamayim. He'll die because God will, in his providence, will organize and orchestrate it that he should die. So we still have Mises Bezdin, but not through Bezdin, but through the Bezdin Shel Shamayim. And that's called an Onesh Bidei Shamayim. And we'll soon see that the cases of Ganve and Aryeh are going to be examples, which this Brisa quotes to illustrate that there will be a punishment bidei shamayim, as if to say man is not guilty because he was subject to these attacks. It's all part of a divine plan because he deserved to die for a sin, but we don't have a Sanhedrin to condemn him to death. And now the Gemara goes through, the Brisa goes through four categories of Chayvei Misa. Mishan is chayv b'skila. If there had been a Sanhedrin, it would be chayv skila. For example, he violated the Shabbos. Is o nofel min agag, o chayador soso. He'll be pushed. Either he'll be pushed off a roof, and that's called skila, or he'll be pushed down to the ground by an animal. When the animal throws a person down to the ground, if the force is powerful enough, then he'll die a death of skila. Mishan is chayv b'sreifa. O nofel bidleka, o nachash makhisho. Stop me if I'm going too fast, because I don't think this needs spurs on. You can do this on your own. Mishan is chayev hariga. Hariga means what they call sayef, that he have to be beheaded. O nimsar lemalchus, because generally what the malchus did was that they beheaded you. O listim boim alav, and the listim would kill a person also with sayef. Mishan is chayev chenek. Chenek means strangulation. Is o tovea benar, he'll die of the lack of oxygen when he's drowned. O meis besirchuni sruchni. Srunchi is a kind of an attack against the throat which causes a person to suffer chanika. In any event, we see clearly that in the list, on this list, in the case of Mishan Ischayev Hariga meaning he's chayv to be beheaded. So what's going to happen is that listim boyim alav, and if somebody's chayv skila, it means he'll be attacked by an animal. So we see that all these cases that you classified as bidei adam, as if to say that it's man's negligence that he exposed himself to the danger of an animal or to the danger of marauders. No, this has to do with bidei shamayim. This is not something that he could have protected. He can't anticipate this. It's a kind of a chiv mises bezdin, but it's bezdin shel shamayim. Ella says the Gemara, going back to Rav Hada Bar Ava, we have to just switch it around. That Aryeh v'ganve, these are cases of bidei shamayim, and tzinin upachin are cases of bidei adam. So when a person suffers tzinin upachin, it's a result of his pshia because shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. In any event, getting back to Abaye says that the source for Nechunim and Akana, that even if he burns down his friend's Kaddish on Yom Kippur, he's potter because ason. Rava has a different source for Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And then the Gemara is going to ask, my Beinayim. Time of the Rav Nechunya ben Akana, we have to derive it from a parsha called Molech, which is in Vayikra Perek Chav. And the Torah says, Vim halem yalimu ama oretz eseinei min ha'ishahu, betisod mizarum la'molech. So if for some reason Bezdin does not put to death a person who was in violation of Nosein Zaro LaMolech, Molech was a kind of an Avodah Zorah, the means of worship was that you had to bring a child that would be killed by the priests of Molech. And if a Jew would do such a thing, he's chayav misa. Again, there's going to be a gigantic machlokes Rishonim if at the end of the day his child was killed. Because if his child was killed, then lechora he has a din of a rotseach, at least to some extent. So why do we have the separate category that Torah is machayev and misa because of no sein zara lamolech? Probably means that although he brought the child to the priests for one reason or another, they never actually killed the child, but he violates no sein zara lamolech. This is a form of avodah zara. And he's chayev skila, and the Torah testifies, this is like a divine testimony, that if, for whatever reason, Bezdin did not mete out the punishment of skila, God says, I'll take care of it. V'samti ani espanai ba'ish hahu u'bimishpachto v'hichrati oso. Now the word v'hichrati is the key word over here, because that refers to kares. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising that the nosei mizar lamolech who is not brought to death and condemned to death by a bezdin, he will die through shamayim as v'hichrati oso. But now let's compare the two. Had he been brought in front of a bezdin and the bezdin would have condemned him to death, he would have died. He would have been killed through skila. Now Hashem is saying, I'm going to substitute. But what's the substitution here? The substitution, paradoxically, is v'hichrati oso is kares. So what do we see? This is Rava's derivation. Amra Torah, the Torah is declaring, Kare Shalik and Misa Shalachem. There's an equation here between my Kare, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your Misa. Now, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to make this equation? I mean, God could have just said, you know, I'll take care of him. But no, the God says that Kare is going to be the replacement for Misa. And that's coming to teach us a halacha. It's not just a homiletical comment. Ma misa shalachem potu min atashlumin. Just like we have the case of kibbutz and rabbin, in the case of chiyuv misa bezdin, of kari shali potu min atashlumin. So the Gemara asks, ma'ika bein rova labaye, ika beinayu zar sha'ochal truma. We're talking about an amazing situation where a non-kohen eats truma. He's not chayav kares in this case. He's chayav misa bidei shamayim. Kares is more chomer than misa bidei shamayim, because in the case of kares, hu vizaro nichrosin. That's based on a pasuk in Vayikachov. It says aririm yiu. In the case of misa bidei shamayim, that punishment is meted out exclusively to the criminal. It doesn't impact on his children. They're not going to be punished and suffer for his crime. And that's the way Rashi learns this sugya. Again, if we have time, we'll speak about the other Rishonim who have a different twist on this sugya. But in any event, going with Rashi at this point, we have a situation of an onesh, bidei shamayim, but it's not as severe as kares. So let's go with Rava now. That's the simpler way of going. According to Rava, there will be no kimle ben rabine here in chiyuv misa bidei shamayim, even according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Because according to Rava, Rav Nechunya ben Akana is based on the fact that the Torah equates kares with misa. But the Torah never equated misa bidei shamayim with misa, because misa bidei shamayim, as we said before, is less severe of a punishment than kares. But labaye potter, labaye would apply kimle ben rabine not only in the case of kares, but even in the case of misa bidei shamayim, i.e. zar shachol truma shel kohen, because ason is a general term that includes any kind of death that is heavenly ordained, including a misa bidei shamayim. Even though misa bidei shamayim is not as severe, it won't impact on the children, but nevertheless it is included under ason. It is a misa bidei shamayim. Ason indicates misa bidei shamayim. And therefore, we'll apply the principle of kimleiv the rabbinim. But l'rava chayev, there won't be any application of kimleiv the rabbinim because the Torah equated kares on that high level with misa, but not misa bidei shamayim, which is on a lower level than kares. The Gemara says, "Ulabaye potur." Are you telling me that according to Abaye, zar shachol truma is potur? Because we're going to apply the principle according to Rav Nechunya of Kimlei ben Ramamine, V'omar Rav Chizda, Moder Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Begonev Chelbo Shal Chaver V'acholo Shul Chayav. Here's a case where a person steals Chelev. Chelev is a Chiyuv Kares, and he then ate it. He's going to be Chayav. Now the reason why he's Chayav is because the Chiyuv Mamon emerges before the Chiv Karis. In other words, Chiv Karis is only a time T2 when he finally eats the Chalev. But when he steals the Chalev, he's Chayv for Monados for stealing someone's Chalev. Chalev is Mutabad Nos, it has a value. There's no simultaneity here, but rather the Chiv Mammon predates, right, the Chiv Miso, in this case the Chiv Kares. Alma says Rabbi Chizda that the Idna, from the moment the Agbe, when he lifted up the Chalev for the purpose of enjoying it, he's not going to return it. So therefore he's a god of Kani, he makes a Kinyan Gneva, but Mishayv Benaf Shalohavi Adi Ochale, he's not chayav for kares until he finally eats it. And therefore, what we see from this is that there's no ptur of kimle b'neramine unless both chiyuvim are chal simultaneously ke'echad. So the Gemara asks the following kasha: Hachinami. Let's take the case of zar she'ochal truma. And the question now is whether or not he has to pay the Kohen for the Truma. He steals Truma from a Kohen and he eats it. He's a Zar. So what does Abai say? Abai says that in this case, according to Abnei Chunya, he would not pay the Kohen for stealing his Truma. Why? Because Kimlei Ramani applies even in the case of a Chiyuv Bidei, Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim. Well, you have another problem here. Technically, this is not a good case. You can't orchestrate Kimle with Ramani in this case because of Rav Chizda's principle. So he's kona the truma of the Kohen the moment that he lifts it up, and he's not chayv mis until he swallows it as a zar shalchal truma. And now we're about to embark upon a very, very complicated sugya. And the Gemara is now going to try to work it out that he becomes a ganov and he's chayv misa simultaneously. Now, how do you synchronize a chiv ganov, which is the chiv momani in this case, and the chiv misiv de shamayim fachila? How can you orchestrate that they both, you know, they're synchronized? Because lechora he steals it before he eats it. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, he stole it, but he stole it by eating it. How can you steal something by eating it? You already lifted it up. I mean, to get it into your mouth, you have to lift it up.
And even though one's immediately after the other, it's not simultaneous, as far as halacha is concerned.
Right. I'm not sure exactly how immediate is immediate. You know, you pick up the chalev, and then you put it in your mouth, you swallow it. I mean, the couple of seconds that go by, the Gemara is going to try to bridge that gap and imagine a scenario in which the very split second that he's chayav as a ganav, he eats the chalev. You know, it's basically, he's chayav for the gneva when it goes down into his belly. That's when he's chayav as a ganav. I mean, that's wild. How do you construct such a situation? So Gemara says, "Kigod shetochav lo chaver l'toch piv." His friend. Now again, there's a whole machlokas here whether his friend was commissioned by him. Let's assume he was commissioned, because otherwise, maybe the person who was forced to eat the chalev is potter b'dinonis. So let's say he commissions his friend to take this chalev and put it into his mouth. So he never actually lifted up the. Truma. So he never actually lifted up the truma. So he's not chayv as a ganov for hagbah. He's going to have to pay the dmei truma, even though he swallows it and he becomes both a ganov and a zar shalchal truma chayv bisim deshmaim simultaneously. And lechor in this case, we're going according to Abaye, and even in Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, like Zar Shalchal Truma, we apply the principle of Kimle according to Abnei Chunya. So why would he have to pay in this case? Right? This is we're trying to work out Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda says he has to pay. So the answer is that, just one second, right? So again, he didn't lift up the Truma. Who lifted up the Truma? Somebody else. What did somebody else do? He put the Truma into his mouth. And therefore, he doesn't become a ganav at the time of what? Of hagbah. Because again, he didn't do the hagbah at all. And at this point, he becomes a ganav when he swallows it. Right? So if he becomes...
Well, it says here when he chooses, I think. No?
We'll get to that in just a second. We're not up to that yet, but I'm saying at this point, tochav lo chaver b'toch piv. So now he has the truma in his mouth. He now gulps down the truma. The moment he gulps down the truma, he becomes a ganov. Why? Because he makes it impossible for the nignav, the kohen, to get back his truma. So that makes him into a ganav. And at that same moment, when he swallows it, he makes it impossible for the kohen to get back his truma, he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim. That would be the case where Abaye would say kim le b'deramine according to Abba Nechunya. So the Gemara rejects this. So, the truth is he's chayav as a ganav even before he swallows it, and even without agbah. So in tochev es hatshuva l'toch piv. Toklo Chaveru is Kamen Delase Kanye.
Now, I do remember you discussing when we learned this the first time that there, if he wasn't actually stealing it, the other person was stealing it, he wasn't trying to steal it, it was just shoved in his mouth. That this still would be a situation, though, where it would be simultaneous that he benefited. Because the truma, he'd only have to pay for what he benefited, not for what he...
Right, had none. So, we'll
then you'd have it simultaneous. Right. The benefit still occurs when he swallows.
Right. So, but before we get to the right now, the Gemara wants to say that he should be chayav as a ganov, not b'toras hanov, but to replace the truma and its full value, if not for kim lev d'ramine. So the Gemara says, it's impossible. Why? Because he's chayav as a ganav the very moment that he makes it inaccessible or impossible for the nignav, the kohen in this case, to get back his truma. And at what point has the truma of the kohen become valueless and become so repulsive that he can't eat it? So the Gemara thinks that that's the moment of lasay. So right. So Shimon put it into Reuven's mouth, but Reuven starts chewing it up. Okay, now again, the Gemara is going to try to circumvent the le'isa, the chewing up. But right now, the Gemara thinks that in order to get it down his gullet, in order to get it down his esophagus, he has to chew it up. The very moment he chews it up, before he gulps it down, he's chayav as a ganov, because he cannot return the truma. Once you chew up the truma, it's changed its form, it's repulsive, it's unedible, and therefore he's chayav as a ganov. But Mishchayv and Ashlav had the bowl, but we have to wait another split second until he finally gulps it down. So when he's chewing it, he's chayv as a ganav. So we still don't have a case of Kimlev the Ramine, because Rav Chisda has already established that you need Be'idna. That's the precondition for Kimlev the Ramine. So now the Gemara wants to know if we can circumvent Le'isa. We've already circumvented Hagbah. Let's even circumvent Le'isa. Kigon Shetochav Lo Letoch Beis HaBliya. That Shimon shoved it down the Beis HaBliya of Reuven in such a way that again, we have to assume that he was commissioned to do so, otherwise it's an onus. But let's say we get to the stage of Bliya. At that moment, two things happen simultaneously. Number one, as a result of this Bliya, he's a ganav, he can't replace it. And number two, he's chayav for Zoros, for eating the truma. So now the Gemara asks, Sechidomi, either Motzi Laduri Nehader, if he can cough it up, then he should have coughed it up. And if he didn't cough it up, then he becomes a ganov at the very split second that he decides that he's not coughing it up. And that's before he even swallows it. V'lo Motzi Laduri, if the person shoved it down his throat in such a way that he can no longer regurgitate it, Amai Chayev. Then his bliya would not generate any chiyuv over here, or at least he's not a ganav. Again, there's machlokes rishonim how to learn this on my chayov. Lo tzricha de motzi laduri al yedei dechak. So this is where we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Lo tzricha de motzi laduri al yedei dechak. Okay then.